Holly G with the Golf Insiders for this edition of Tour Talk. It was a nail biter. It was one of the most exciting players championships in a long time. It wasn't Jack and it wasn't Tiger. We might be calling him Superman from now on. Scottie Scheffler going back to back, creating history with his second Players Championship win at the 50th anniversary. It had all kinds of fireworks coming down the stretch, and to break it all down for us, Bob Herrig from SI.com. Hey, Bob.
Hey there. How you doing?
Well, I don't know how Scotty's doing, because he probably had a lot of his grandma's chocolate pie after that win on Sunday. But it really was a remarkable finish, considering on Friday at the 14th hole, he had to have his physical therapist come out and work on his neck. He had a crick in it, seemed to cause him a bunch of pain over the next couple of days. And, you know, this is what sets champions apart, right, Bob? And the superstars, they get it done. And what a remarkable win by Scotty.
I actually feel bad for him because he had to win all that money and the players to be able to pay the taxes from winning all that money at the Arnold Palmer. $8.5 million in the last 2 weeks, $4 million and $4.5 million. I hope he has a good tax guy, a good accountant, you know, but you're right. I mean, a couple of us talked to his caddy, Ted Scott, on Sunday night after he won. And, you know, he said Friday when he went home afterward, he didn't think Scotty would play Saturday. Like, he thought that neck injury was bothering him enough that he wouldn't go. And not only did he go, but, you know, obviously he shot a good enough score on Saturday to keep in touch with the lead. And he, you know, the guy's an incredible ball striker. And we asked him, you know, how did he do it? He goes, yeah, he couldn't barely turn his head. You know, he was like, to look to the side, he had to turn his whole body, but he found a way to still hit the shots. He said, look, he wasn't hitting as good as he usually does. And you look at the stats, and his stats are still like, you know, like 1-2, whatever, in strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained approach, strokes gained around the green. He was like way up there in all the categories like he always is, you know. And he had a better-than-average putting week, not as good as he did at Bay Hill, but it was better than his tour rank, you know, which is outside the top 100. And, you know, there it is. You know, the guy hits the ball great, and he's able to, you know, when he can putt halfway decent, he's a force.
Yeah, he was saying even to turn his head to line up his putts was causing him some pain. It was going on throughout his game, affecting every part of his game.
Yeah, exactly. It's impressive, really. I mean, and we've known this for a while. You know, he had a historically great scoring average last year. I believe his adjusted scoring average was the seventh best of all time, and the best of anyone not named Tiger Woods. Like, Tiger has the top six, I think. And so, you know, that's pretty amazing when you consider that an adjusted is not just the raw scoring average. It takes into account courses and what they do and how hard they are and everything. And so, you know, look, you just can't say enough good. He's an incredible player. He figured something out on the greens these last couple of weeks. You know, he'll be a huge favorite going into the Masters. That doesn't necessarily mean anything, but he's clearly, you know, he's found something here, and it's the timing's pretty good.
And you got a feel for Wyndham Clark. Maybe the most excruciating, heartbreaking lip out, a double fist pump. He was that confident was going in.
Exactly. It was a little bit too fast. You know, it was going a little bit too hard. But, you know, that ball got in the hole a lot. It went around the hole, and it was, you know, a bit of it was submerged.
Golf is a cruel game, Bob.
Exactly.
So close, you know. But no cigars.
Right, exactly.
Well, it was an incredible finish. We Xander in the hunt as well. Didn't quite have his best round on Sunday. Just so many top 10 finishes for Xander. Just hasn't been able to get it done. And he's, what, 2 years now in terms of a drought of victories?
He won back-to-back tournaments that he played in 2022 at the I believe it was the Travelers and the Scottish Open. And he did this past year, this goes unnoticed, he tied for the lowest 72-hole score at the Tour Championship. But of course, that doesn't get you a trophy because of the staggered start. So, I mean, he's still, what, fifth or sixth in the world. He's not won in a long time. His buddy Patrick Cantlay hasn't either. It's a little bit curious. I mean, these guys are well regarded. They're Ryder Cup players. They're nobody thinks of them as being in any kind of a slump because they have high finishes a lot, but they haven't broke through. And Xander's sort of been working on a swing change with Chris Como starting since late last year.
Right.
And he more or less admitted he didn't trust it. Mm. Exactly. This is what happens, under the gun. It's not that he had a problem, he has any doubts about it, but just you revert back, and I think there was just, he had a great round on Saturday. I think he shot 65. And then Sunday, it just wasn't quite there. He had a couple of, killer bogeys on the back nine. And that's all it took. And then, look, even saying all that, he had a great shot in there on 17. And he had a very makeable putt that he missed. And if he makes that putt, he's tied.
Yes.
Say what you want about the ball striking, but you got to make that putt. In that moment, you have to make that putt. You cannot expect to birdie 18. You can't leave it to that. But listen, it was a great tournament. Golf needed this. You had four heavyweights up there. I mean, Brian Harman, the Open champion, also tied for second. Xander, you had Wyndham, and then this guy Scheffler. I mean, these are all, world-class players at the moment. And it was a great tournament. I mean, it's kind of what we've been asking for.
Absolutely. The other big news coming out of Sunday was that there was going to be a player tour policy board meeting in the Bahamas with Yasser Al-Rumayyan, who is the head of the PIF. First time, I guess, any of them had put a name to the face with this meeting, Bob, that happened in the Bahamas. Can you share any news on that?
Yeah, tracked down on Wednesday at Innsbruck, Webb Simpson and Peter Malnati, who were there, got the kind of information that they were able to share, which isn't much. They're not going to tell us, the ins and outs. But, there's part of me that was sort of wondering, there's a lot of emissions wasted there with everybody flying to the Bahamas. Did you have to go through customs when you got there? I mean, I realize it's a short flight for everybody, but, there's a lot of jet fuel being spent and get the tour plane there, the Aramco plane that Yasser flies on. And, the SSG people went there, and obviously Tiger was there. Tiger wasn't flying a prop plane over there. So there's a lot of big high-end airplanes at the Nassau Airport. What I took from Webb was the one who said the most, that he said it was a good meeting. He's glad they did it. They got a sense of what this man is all about. They got a sense of his bigger picture vision. They didn't get into the weeds with Liv. They didn't get into the weeds of exactly what they want. But, Malnati has sort of admitted, their vision and our vision is not exactly the same right now. And we've got a ways to go. To which I would say, man, we're 9 months into this and we're just learning this now. What's been going on for all that time? Now, Webb did say, he said, look, part of that has to do with the fact that when SSG was getting involved, that doesn't take a minute either. That takes some time.
Sure.
And so they got focused on that. And so obviously that put this off, right? Mm-hmm. So, and And so now it sounds like they're ready to focus on this. But for the average guy, and he's tired of hearing about how much money everybody's making, nobody cares about what kind of equity these guys are going to get in the tour going forward, or that they're going to be part owners of the tour, or who's going to sign with LIV for X number of millions. They just want to know, how's this going to impact the game? Are the best players going to come back together more often? Like seemingly everybody wants. How do we get there? And I don't think we're close. You know, like I was saying all along, that if one of the reasons they needed a deal by the end of last year was so that you could have something in place for 2025. Well, you know, unless something changes drastically and they're keeping a lot from us, which is possible. I don't discount the possibility of that. But, you know, I mean, you're not going to have this anything in place for next year. You're going to be looking at the same scenario unless the tour extends an olive branch and lets guys come back to play select events. You know, maybe they have sort of a tentative deal to start something in 2026, but next year we're going to have sort of a smaller thing that will work out. I mean, I don't see that happening. I see the tour and LIV operating separately again next year. And even if they were to come together, well, how would it look? You know, would LIV be folded into the PGA Tour enterprises in some way? Would they just be separate still? I mean, there's so much there that, and I don't pretend to think that it's going to be easy. It never was going to be easy. But here we are. We're almost to the Masters, and this is going to continue to be a big story.
I heard Billy Horschel's comments, I believe it was yesterday, and I thought he really articulated where a good number of players sit. He said he was never critical necessarily of LIV or the PIF. But what, you know, he didn't like was the way a lot of those players trash-talked the tour, as he put it. And I think there are a lot of players in that camp in terms of that olive branch being extended anytime soon and figuring that piece out.
Look, there's a lot of hurt feelings. There's a lot of raw feelings that, you know, don't forget what 11 or 12 of their guys sued the PGA Tour. You're in essence suing the players. Look, Phil was at the front of it talking about the obnoxious greed, which, look, you know, I understand where Phil was coming from with a lot of this over the years. He has been saying some of these things for a long time.
True.
That they needed to change. They needed to take care of the stars. But obnoxious greed, when you sign a deal for $200 million, I mean, what's obnoxious greed? You know, I mean, like, and again, I have a lot of affection for Phil. I think he's one of the greatest of all time. And yet, there's a lot of people out there who will never forgive him. You know, and this is where we are. So, yeah, I get that. That's a great comment from Billy Horschel. It's not that easy to just say, oh yeah, let's let them all back. First of all, there's no entry for any of these guys to go play for LIV. So, like, why? You know, like, their teams are locked. If you're going to do that, doesn't it have to be both ways? You know. So, and what? They're just can pick, cherry pick PGA Tour events that they want, and obviously sponsors would take them. You think a tournament like this at the Valspar would love to have Bryson?
Absolutely.
You know, love to have Brooks, love to have Rob, you know, love to have Neiman, and even like Charles Howell, anybody. You know, like I think we're at the point where, you know, there's not this venom towards the players among the fans and the tournaments, but the players who compete out here aren't going to like that at all. And so it needs to be worked out. They need to figure something out.
Well, they need to figure something out because, and this was some of the noise, right, after the Monahan's press conference, fan fatigue. Well, if you look at the ratings for the Arnold Palmer and the Players' Championship, having one of its best finishes of all time on Sunday, and they're down. The ratings are down. That's not a good sign for the PGA Tour.
It's not. I mean, I think there's fatigue with all of this. Rory mentioned that. Players have talked about they're tired. You know, they know fans are tired of all this money talk.
Players are tired of it. We're tired of it.
I think it's turned some people off, because why would the viewership be that much down at the Players' Championship when you had a very compelling... Now, I will say this. It peaked 5:45 to 6 o'clock. It was like over 9 million or 8 million. Like, a lot of people tuned in to watch the end. But the overall rating was down a lot from last year. So that means people weren't... They were, you know, maybe people said, I'm going to see, you know, hey, look, there's a great leaderboard, I'm going to watch the end. But they weren't moved to watch all of it. And that's not good. You know, I mean, yeah, there's something, you know, that's why, you know, there's a lot that has to happen here now to, I think, to win some people back.
Backs up Rory's comments of, you know, we need something sooner than later. And we know he's been the closest player to this whole situation as it's unfolded.
Right.
So, as we say many times, stay tuned. And quickly, we have a great tournament to finish off the Florida Swing, Copperhead at Innisbrook Resort. One of the toughest tracks on tour, Bob. The finishing hole's called the Snake Pit. What do you see? Some good players in the field, even though it's coming on the heels of the Players. Including Xander Schauffele being in the field, he's got to be a little toasted.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it's an underrated course. It's got a good field. JT's here, Jordan Spieth, Xander, you know, Sam Burns has won here a couple of times. You know, Brian Harman's playing. I mean, look, every week is a pretty solid field on the PGA Tour. We get spoiled with these big events. And there was always this fear that it was going to hurt events like this. But, you know, so far, I don't really think that's been the case. They're probably getting who they would have got anyway. You know, maybe you would have gotten a player or two more. You know, Tony Finau's here. He didn't play Bay Hill. He skipped a signature event, you know, and decided to play here instead. That's going to be rare, but it happens. So, you know, I think, if you have a good, interesting weekend and it's competitive, I think golf fans just want to watch golf, and they aren't always all that tied into who it is.
And they like watching courses they know. That's what makes these tournaments, as you said, fun to watch and exciting down the stretch. And we look forward to a great tournament this week and weekend. Who's your pick?
Well, real tough call. I went with Sam Burns just because he's won it twice in a row before last year. He's off to an okay start. But this is a hard golf course to pull away on. So as long as you're kind of hanging in there around par, you got a chance.
Well, we appreciate your time as always. Bob Herrig from SI.com, thanks so much for spending a little time with the Golf Insiders.